Morning, everyone. Wednesday, March 29, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And it is a big Wednesday because we've got the final fields barrier draws done for the four group ones on Saturday at Royal Ranwick for day one of the championships. Nature Strip drew 7-15 as it chases history, a fourth straight TJ Smith on Saturday, $4.50 with Tab. And we'll have a look at a few of those markets through the morning. Chat with Adam Pengilly, Brad Davidson, of course, about them as well. News at the Raiders and Jack Whiten, interesting stuff. And the teams are out for round five as well. Got the Australian Formula One Grand Prix this weekend as well in Melbourne. Clarky, morning to you, mate. Day off yesterday. Jay Reynolds stepped in. And look what happens when you just get a little, when you just throw a beautiful pass on the chest.
He's in.
Josh runs through. Straight into first grade, his first NRL match for the Bulldogs since 2017. And, well, his last NRL match was for the Tigers back in 2020. But great to have you back, mate, after you had obviously a sad day on Monday.
Yeah, morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Yeah, nice to be back. Thanks to Joshy for filling these very small boots of mine. Sounds like he did well. And, yeah, he's back in first grade. How exciting for him. What a... What a story. You know, we talk about it regularly in sport, that not often do people get that fairy tale finish or do things fall into place, as they have done for Joshy so far. So really happy for him. And I think great for the Bulldogs as well. I just think his leadership, been around for a long time. He'll help that team, help that squad. So coming off the bench, Loz, you said?
Yep.
So that's, yeah, he'll be pumped. It would have been the... He would have been, I'm sure yesterday, he would have made it very clear how excited he is. But, yeah, he said, you know, we were lucky enough to talk to him that whole way through him coming back from overseas and making it clear. I always said good on him as well for coming out loud and proud and saying there's only one club I want to come back and play for, and that's the Dogs, and I'll do whatever I can. And had to risk a pre-season with no guarantees and tick, 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 and here he is, back, gets an opportunity. So happy for him.
Lozza, morning.
Morning, boys.
New T-shirt?
No, I've seen this one.
Yeah, no. Right.
Vintage.
Just looks a bit new for me.
Not really. Mm. Yeah, I just dragged it out of the wardrobe last
night.
Same.
The dark T-shirt good. Really highlights your features, your guns.
Yeah, I need a bit of work done on them. I haven't done much on my arms lately, but that'll occur.
When you go
into winter, you don't get your guns out that often. It's the summer you got to worry about.
Ah, yeah, of course. Less clothing.
Yep. Got the singlet on down the beach a bit more.
You and Jack going to go and
do
a few
what's
curls
going
together,
on there?
Maybe
what's
a few sessions together, have a little chat.
I don't know whether Jack will come to Sydney or whether he'll go to Brisbane up there at the Dolphins. They've got a war chest up there, the Dolphins. They've got plenty of money.
That's where he might
go. Were you
go,
surprised?
You know,
so the news is, by the way, that Jack Whiten yesterday, he's set to test the market. He's got a player option at the Raiders for next year. So this being 30 years of age, probably his last contract, potentially.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I thought he would stay there at the Raiders. But I can understand his decision because it possibly is his last contract. And he wanted to test his market on the open, test his value on the open market, which is his right too, because that's what was written into his contract. And, you know, you're worth what someone's willing to pay for you, and other clubs have got obviously a lot of space in their salary cap, and you're looking for a quality player. For me, for Jack, I'm around that $1.1 million mark, but they're talking upwards of $1.3 million. That's a lot of money.
Surely not.
A lot of money.
I mean, we love Jack as a player.
Yeah, he's one of my favourites.
He's not worth that at this point in his career, is he?
Well, you're only worth what someone's willing to pay.
Very true.
And if someone's got 1.3, 1.4 and they're prepared to spend it on Jack, well, good luck to him. And there's a lot of things that go into your last contract as well, not only the financial side of it, but you're also thinking about lifestyle and opportunities after football. And I'm sure that the Raiders would have made that quite clear to him as well. So while they understand his position, I think they'd be a little bit disappointed that he hasn't taken up that option and looked to extend. But he's well within his rights. And I think that the Raiders will certainly make it hard for him to leave. I think they will come back with a really decent offer. But, you know, if they're going to get blown out of the park by someone offering him 1.3 or upwards of 1.4... they might not be able to compete. So, look, it's all out in the open. Jack can go and source the offers and have a look around. The Raiders will get another crack at him. But again, he's well within his rights, and it'd be disappointing if Jack moved on, but you certainly understand it being his last contract and the position he's in at the moment.
Just having a look through the Raiders' contract situation, Loz, you get the feeling, do you get a sense of regeneration might be coming of that roster? They've got a couple of key players locked up. Joe Tarpany's there for a long time. I think Josh Papali'i is as well. But you've got a lot of players there who are off contract next year, so they can speak to everyone from November 1 as well. Has this squad taken them as far as they can go?
I look at the AFL model, and I know it's different because you've got a draft in the AFL. But I look at what some clubs do, and I wonder why we don't do it that often as well. And there are clubs in the NRL that do it, but I think you've got to be careful just to say we're going for a complete rebuild. Because if you go for a complete rebuild, you know what that requires? Moving a lot of people on and bringing a lot of young blokes in. And if you don't get that right, it can take you years. But you look at, you know, Hawthorn, what they've done over the last couple of years, or certainly over the last 12 months, 18 months, they've got rid of a lot of experienced players and they're getting exposed at the moment. But then you look at the Geelong model where they just keep topping up and they will bring in experienced players. So there's two ways of looking at it. The Raiders could be still in a premiership window and they still might be able to get the right player that's the best fit for their system and still have success and still be a finals contender. But if you want to do a complete rebuild, sometimes you've got to start from the bottom and it can take a bit of time.
Just having a look, like Corey Horsburgh's got an option for, or there's a mutual option there for 2025. Players like Elliot Whitehead's off contract next year. Jamal Fogarty. There were plenty here, I noticed yesterday. Nick Kotrick, Sebastian Chris.
And so the thing at the moment with the extra team too, if you're coming off contract, because of that extra team, there's always a position available. You know, and they're talking about extending the roster from 30 possibly to, I've heard, anywhere up to 35 because of concussion, you know, and the fact that, you know, now with concussions and stand down policies, if you get a lot of injuries at the one time, then you've got guys that are missing a week through concussion, your roster and your list, what's available to you that week could be on the bare bones. So they're talking about extending positions in a squad and making the numbers are higher. So there's always going to be opportunity for players now with those things at play. So, look, good on them. Yeah, good on them. I think they deserve to earn everything they can get. It's a tough game. We are now understanding a lot more about the impact that the game can have on you with life after football. So they deserve everything they get.
Here's another take on it. Nico from Newey says, men, salty Raiders fan here. The Raiders stood by Jack through all of his past, all of his off and on field issues. He owes Don Ferner big time, says Nico from Newey. But Don Ferner was spoke to various publications, and the chief executive says that Whiten's within his rights to test the market, being possibly, as we spoke about, his last contract. But the club has every intention to keep him. And Ferner pointing to the cases of Cameron Munster, Mitch Moses, he may well stay after all loss.
Yeah, well, again, you know, they agreed to this deal. They agreed that he could have an option there and he could trigger that option before round 10 if he wanted to, or he could let the club know that he was going to test his market value. And that's exactly what he's doing. So while the Raiders would be disappointed a little bit that he hasn't taken it up, they're certainly not waving the white flag and saying, well, Jack's gone, because they'll do everything in their power to try and keep him there. But again, it gets back to salary cap and it gets back to what you're able to pay someone. And, you know, the Raiders will pay Jack $1.1 million, and I think that's a fair price. I think that's a really good price for Jack. But if someone's going to come in and pay Jack $1.3 to $1.4 million, well, he's seriously got to look at it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. If they're paying him that, you know what's happening then.
You know, so
it would almost be irresponsible for the Raiders to match that. if they can. Let's face it.
Yeah, possibly. But other clubs have got more money to spend. You know, the West Tigers have got money to spend.
Sure.
The Dolphins have got money to spend, and they're looking to get quality players. So they could possibly afford to go to that money. Whereas the Raiders, they're trying to fit everyone in. I don't know whether they could.
Some more texts here. Boys, get White into Newcastle. Get rid of Ponga. His defence is still some of the best in the game, says Andy at Newcastle. Boys, Jack Whiten probably wants to win a premiership and may not think the Raiders is the club to achieve that goal, says Cozzy from Goulburn. Did get to a grand final, won a Clive Churchill medal, though, not too long ago. Boys, as a Raiders supporter, I would not pay Jack Whiten over $1 million for a 5'8 that runs across field with an average kicking and passing game. He should be centres or lock, says Graham. You know, imagine being the new Premier. All of a sudden, you know, you've had one day to maybe just go, okay, cool, this is sweet. Now everyone just comes to you wanting money. Everyone from all walks of life. And it's front page of the telly today. Don't pass the buck. NRL CEOs demand new stadiums for Mins now that the government has changed hands. No doubt. And Dean Bulldog Richie's got the story. Will join us later this morning. Front page Bulldog today. The likes of, well, Cronulla, Leichhardt. Leichhardt does need an upgrade, especially Brookvale. So the respective CEOs of those clubs, Cronulla, Manly and the Tigers, according to this article, set to go to the new Premier and go, right, show me the money. Show me the money,
well,
baby.
Of course, I think we'd all love to see upgrades to suburban stadiums here in Sydney because they all do need an upgrade. But you can't have it at the expense of the health and education system. But if they can justify the spend, I've got no problem. I haven't got a problem. But there's more important things than upgrading stadiums, I believe, at this point in time. But if they've got the money that they can help with the health and education, and they can still have money left over to fix the stadiums and upgrade the stadiums, let's do it.
While we're on the front page path, front page of the Australian, Oscar Piastri on the front page. What a moment. He turns 22 next week and he grew up in Melbourne. And it's, of course, his maiden Australian Formula One Grand Prix there this week. Different Aussie, same old issue though. The car so far stepping into McLaren after Daniel Ricciardo, of course, was bumped from McLaren. He's had a DNF and finished 15th. So car troubles and 1996 world champion Damon Hill, who we're going to speak to later this week, wonders if the young Aussie actually regrets moving from Alpine to McLaren so far. What a moment for him.
Yeah,
young
great,
kid, great home Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Huge.
Awesome opportunity. Yeah. I think everyone wants the best car, don't they? You know, we see Lewis Hamilton's been, if not the greatest, he's up there. He's in the conversation. Yet, listen to him talk about his car at the moment. He's fuming. He's blowing up. So, yeah, I just think what a chance, what an opportunity. And as you say, you know, to be able to race his first Formula One in front of his home fans would be unbelievable. Dream come true.
We mentioned it off the top, but I've had to earn it. Josh Reynolds speaking on the back page. Picture of him there, the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald this morning after he was named in the 17 in the 14 jersey for the match against the Cowboys. The Cowboys, by the way, without Jeremiah Nenai, Murray Taulagi and James Tamo for this match on Sunday night. So it's big chance for the Dogs, you would think, against a depleted Cowboys side. Big chance for Josh to maybe, if he, you know, he could really be a weapon there at 14 lots.
Yeah, I think looking at the Bulldogs and the way they've played, and I think you look at their second half performances, I don't think they're getting a lot off their bench. So I think that, you know, they've got that good starting 13, that they do all the good work, but then when they start to make changes or they get late into the game and they're under fatigue a little bit, the starting 13, when they revert back to that, that's when they concede all their points and they look a bit shaky. So I think they need a bit of energy coming off the interchange bench. And, you know, Josh played a bit of hooker last week in the New South Wales Cup. What do you call it? The washing machine. You know, he was in the washing machine and it was just hard getting used to going, making tackles, getting back your 10, moving from one side of the ruck to the other, then pushing up square in defence and getting all the little key things right. But I think someone like Josh coming off the interchange bench will certainly give them plenty of energy. and be really good for the Bulldogs. You know, he can play a number of positions, but I think that's sort of their Achilles heel at the moment, just that impact that they're not getting off the bench that other clubs get.
As we look ahead to the championships, plenty of racing in the papers today as well. Secret Weapon Mellum on board for Cummings Flyer. Back page of the Herald. So James Cummings has booked Ben Mellum to ride the filly in Secret, which firmed in the market yesterday, drew 12 of 15. $6 into $5 with Tab yesterday. The filly which won the Newmarket. Of course, Ben Mellum, a great ride on Cascadian to get him out of trouble there in the straight at Flemington to win the Australian Cup for James Cummings on Saturday. So he's in the good books at the moment with the Godolphin trainer. No doubt about that is Ben Mellum. And on the back page of the Daily Telegraph, as well as the Jack Whiten story, which dominates the back page, but also an exclusive with Ray Thomas, Berry has spring in his step. So news that Tommy Berry has had his suspension for improper dealings with a punter reduced on appeal, so he can ride track work from August 24 and ride in races from September 24. And I think we all have a big soft spot for Tommy Berry, so that's great news for him.
Yeah, he's one of the leading jockeys here in this country, and in particular here in Sydney. And, you know, Tommy has always proclaimed there wasn't too much happening, and he went to the panel, and they obviously gave him a 1 year suspension, but that's been reduced by 4 months. So, well done to him. I know he's been working hard. He'll come back hungrier than ever, and I'm sure he'll ride plenty of winners when he gets back. But the panel obviously thought that it was harsh, giving him that disqualification for 12 months. So they've downgraded it, and we'll see Tommy back sooner. And no doubt when he does come back, he'll be riding plenty of winners.
Back page of the Australian, Ecuador Blitz ends hopes of series sweep. So last night at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne, the Socceroos lost to Ecuador 2-1 after they beat them 3-1 on Friday night at Combank Stadium. Brendan Borrello had the hosts ahead. Craig Goodwin hit the post, deflected straight into Borrello's path, who pretty much towed it into the empty net. So it was 1-0 to the Socceroos after just 16 minutes. But then Ecuador really sort of bullied us. And certainly up front, Rodriguez, their striker, really was dominant. And in the end, they scored 2 second-half goals, the first one from a penalty. So Ecuador 2-1, courtesy of those 2 goals in the second half. And so squaring the series there last night at Marvel Stadium. Also back page of the Sydney Morning Herald Pup, WPL. So the Women's Premier League, the inaugural Women's Premier League over there in India. And this headline, WPL could end era of Australian dominance. And that's been a bit of a theory, isn't it? That maybe this sort of competition could certainly create greater competition for our very dominant women's cricket side.
It'll definitely have impact. I think you look at the men's game as well. I think before IPL started, certainly in, one day cricket, Australia dominated for a long period of time. I think we're the number one day team in the world for a long time. So, 2020 cricket allows other players all around the world, international players, to play with, you know, in the girls' case, to play with these Australian women. So you got them in your team. You can look at their strengths, their weaknesses, learn from them. It'll improve. Certainly Indian cricket, there's no doubt about it. The women's Indian team will be much stronger in over the next 4 or 5 years while this IPL goes on, because it's domestic players as well. Same as the IPL. You've got, 4 overseas players allowed to play at once. So the rest are all Indian locals, domestic players. So it's got to enhance the local league, the Indian players. So, but at this stage, I think the Australian women's team is a long way in front of everybody else. And they showed that most recent World Cup.
And just quickly on the subject of India as well, I mentioned this yesterday briefly, Clark, you obviously weren't here, but the ICC, would you believe, changed the rating given to the indoor pitch from the recent series in the Border Gavaskar Trophy. It was initially given a poor rating. The BCCI appealed. Oh, lo and behold, it's now below average rating.
Can't believe
and,
it.
And the reasons given were, apparently, there wasn't enough excessive variable bounce to warrant the poor rating. Any shock?
Go India.
Oh, seriously. Aren't they
power,
the best?
Power to them.